I don't. I'm sorry.
The Princess Bride rats, you don't remember those ones? The giant one that jumps on him and he bites him in the arm and
Are you talking about Monty Python? That was a rabbit.
then... No, not that one. That's a great scene, but the rabbits.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking about the, I think they're like something rodents, like large size rodents or
A
something like
rat
that.
is a rodent. What's the largest rodent, Lance? It's one of my favorites.
A mouse.
Oh my God. Aid, you're a teacher. What's the largest rodent?
A rabbit?
No. They
A
swim.
snake.
An
Alligators.
otter?
I don't think, are possums rodents? I don't think. No, a possum is a marsupial, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, an otter. No, they're.
No, that's a mammal. It's a capybara.
Oh, fun, 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 fun.
See, we love to educate here on Slasher's
Fun
podcast about
facts,
rodents.
folks.
Oh, I had
Fun
no
facts.
idea. That's
Fun, fun
hilarious.
f. That's my other show.
Ah, Mikey.
Woo!
Well,
Y'all ready? Ready for this? Ready, ready, ready?
to talk about the movie or other stuff.
Talk about a little other stuff right now. We're gonna actually see how you guys' day is. And I got like a fun little thing we can try to do, especially thanks to Aid and the people of Truckee. So I thought we could maybe actually do a live thing here since I haven't called, or unless you want to do it, Mikey.
I'd rather not.
No? Okay. Well, let's start off with how's your guys' day been? What are you guys up to? Anything new?
I'll go first since Aid's obviously going to do her live performance of Chucky Takes Manhattan. I, Fallout. Let's get it out of the way.
Oh, so good.
I don't know yet. I was like, I'm going to watch Baby Reindeer, one episode of Baby Reindeer, and then I'm going to go to Fallout, and then I'm going to go back to Baby Reindeer, and then I'm going to go back to Fallout. If y'all don't know, Baby Reindeer is a show on Netflix. Fallout is a show on Amazon based off the video game Fallout, whatever. And so I saw Baby Reindeer, 30-minute episodes, gowns, beautiful gowns. It was a great time. I was emotionally involved because I know what it's like to be mentally unstable. And so I felt sorry for the woman. And I was, people were like, oh, it's so creepy, it's so scary. But I was like, this is like a comedy. It's not really. But then it ends. The first episode ends, and you're like, oh, that's where we're gonna go. So then I was like, okay, Fallout time. And there's a certain podcast I listen to where the host talks about nerd stuff, and it just makes you want to watch these stupid things. And so I was like, fine, I'll give Fallout a chance. I watched it, and I was like, this is interesting. And I like had to pause it for something. An hour and 14 minutes an episode, bitch. I said, not tonight. So I went back
Oh
to
my
Baby Reindeer.
God.
I went back to Baby Reindeer. And that's my shit right now. I will go back to Fallout, but I just, the whole time I was watching Fallout, I was thinking about what was going to happen on Baby Reindeer. So I could not flip-flop those shows. And Baby Reindeer, 30-minute episodes, I think there's like seven. Get through it real quick.
Nice.
Yeah,
Great.
that's a sweet spot with episodes. I think like 30, 40-minute episodes, like I can totally do that.
Yeah.
When it starts, getting longer than that, today was fine. This week's been fine. I just got back from Vegas. I've had,
Woo. Oh yeah, all the sins. What'd you do? Can't tell us no more.
well, no, I didn't sin. My good friend, I grew up with since kindergarten, Stephanie, got married. So congrats, Stephanie and Paul, get a shout out here on Slasher's podcast.
Woo, Stephanie Paul.
We had a great time, great wedding, lots of fun people. I won like 130.
Damn.
I was down to like $2, and I went to the ATM, got another 100 out, and then I won it all back and more. So there you go.
Every Vegas
Perfect.
success story.
Here's a Vegas tip that I learned from Whoopi Goldberg. You go with a certain amount of money you're okay with losing. Like I think last time I went, it was just a weekend. I was like, I'm gonna lose $1,000 and I'll be okay. So you put aside $1,000 and then you separate your winnings. So it's like I spent $1,000, that's what I'm using, but everything I win is gonna go in this bucket. So when you run out of $1,000, you look at how much you actually have and you're like, am I cool with losing this too? Or do I just
Right.
count my losses and keep it? So that's what I did. I spent it all. It's fine. It was a nice, it
Wow.
was nice in
Nice.
theory, but I did turn $1 into $200 at a penny machine.
But that's the best way to do it. Like literally, I hit like one machine. I hit the button. I was getting pissed because I was losing, and I'm like, "Fuck, fuck, fuck!" Because I was about to lose everything again. And then I just hit the highest bet, and boom!
Did you do anything
Oh,
nasty,
shit.
or did I have a more wild time in a small town country city in Texas than you did in Las Vegas?
Yeah, I didn't do anything nasty. I was put to bed at like midnight, I think, that night. And then the next day, no, nothing nasty. I
Lame.
wish. Yeah. I wasn't on the strip though. I wasn't on the strip. If I was on the strip, it could have been different. But you know, last time I was on the strip, I did a photo shoot with the Chippendales dancers, and I still have the photos for it because they were pretty hot. Yay.
That's cool. Oh. Last time I was in Vegas, I hooked up with the guy from Grindr. Everybody was gambling downstairs, so that was fun.
Oh, well, there you go. You gambled on something else, I guess. But yeah. You
gambled on the safety of those condoms.
That's amazing. Well, it sounds like you both had an amazing weekend in your own rights. So what I'd like to try to do right now is I'll let Aid kind of talk about this.
So you can actually call this number, and the network that plays Chucky,
TNT and Sci-Fi, I think.
And oh yeah, so the real Don Mancini went ahead and posted it. And he said, you know, to call this number 201-500-3347 to elect Chucky to a fourth consecutive term. And so John Squires published the article, All Bloody Disgusting, I think, yeah, May 2nd, which is today.
Today.
Shit, I didn't even realize it was May 2nd.
That's Hold on. Nice. So what you're saying is that number and call.
You're calling Chucky and pledging your support now. Hang up and text me. What kind of a dickwad calls people anymore? Text Chuck with me to this number and get a surprise.
Well.
Yeah. So.
New Jersey, by the way. Hilarious.
Yeah, it's a New Jersey number. And which is funny because, like, I was afraid to do it at first. So I grabbed one of my kids because we weren't doing anything. And I grab one of my kids and I'm like, you know, get over here and call this number for me. he's like, what's going to happen? I'm like, I don't know.
Legitimately.
He goes, and after it happened, he put it on speaker and we're all laughing. He goes, Chucky just called me a dickwad. So I actually texted the Chuck with me to a number. And I was, my dyslexia, I texted it to a wrong number. So somebody in New Jersey got that message. And I'm like, how come nothing's happening? Like, oh, it's the wrong number. So then I texted the real number. And I'll post this screenshots of it on Instagram at some point. But basically, you know, they're trying to get us to advertise, I think, for the show, you know, to get more people to watch it. But I don't know if it's because season 3 did poorly. I have no idea. I didn't read the Bloody Disgusting article. So if you want to go ahead and read it, that it was published today. I only read the screenshot that Don Mancini posted on Instagram today. So I'm like, a phone number? Fuck yeah. Like, because I love that interactive shit. Like, remember when they had that phone number for Scream and you could have Ghostface call people?
Yeah, that was the one that I was going to mention. That one freaked people out because I was at work. And
yes.
I work in, like, ever since COVID, we became like a working from home optional thing. So it's just like me and like 5 people in this huge office tower downtown. And it was like a rainy day. And I get that call. I'm in the bathroom and I'm like,
what a horrible place to have that moment.
Yeah. Cause that one wasn't like you called them, like you text them numbers to call and they'll call without like them
knowing.
That's
hilarious.
Yeah. So, and it was Ghostface. So that one was fun.
And that one, he said different things too. So that was a good time.
Yeah, like nice. He's watching you.
Well, I hope everybody does that. It'll be kind of fun to see if anybody calls the Chucky line. And I don't know if it's, I guess it's the same thing every time then, right? Probably so.
Yeah.
I guess if you heard it, you heard it.
I called it right after I made my student do it. So
right after, just to make sure he didn't feel like he was like used.
Yeah, targeted.
Yeah.
he's fine. He's probably the only kid I could get to do that would be just be like, oh yeah, let me call this number.
Nice.
But yeah, just to clarify, Chucky is now airing on USA, Sci-Fi, and Peacock, but you can also stream it on Shudder. So if y'all are wanting to watch it on any of those networks, please do. It's very good. If you haven't seen it yet, it's got a great cast. Jennifer Tilly comes back, Christina Lee comes back, Andy's back, everybody's back on the damn show, so there's no reason for you not to see it.
And Fiona Dourif.
Oh yeah, Fiona Dourif, and she also plays Brad Dourif in the 80s. She plays Charles Lee Ray back in the day. So when they do the 80s flashbacks, it's her playing her father, which I think is so cool because she looks just like him. So
she does. Anyway, yeah. She does a good voice too, because at first I thought it was going to be kind of cringy to be like, oh, you're just trying to be your dad. But no, she does it really well.
All her life.
I know. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. I love Chucky. I would nice, nice.
Well, let's go ahead and start the show. This is Slashers, your favorite horror podcast about your favorite horror media. We like to do lots of different stuff. I'm here with my favorite co-hosts and cohorts, Aid and Mikey. Say hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for catching up with our second installment of Monster Mash.
Monster Mash.
Mash.
Mash, mash, mash. Sorry.
Mash potatoes.
Mash, mash. Mash. Where we're going to hit into one of my favorite old school movies, The Gate. In this situation, no one's gatekeeping. It's just letting them in. this movie actually appeared in 1987. It was definitely one of my favorite kind of movies. It had a couple of really cool people in it, but mostly everybody will know is going to be, is it Steven or Steppen?
Dwarf.
Steven Dwarf.
Dwarf, not dwarf.
Dwarf.
Steven Dwarf.
From Blade.
Yes. He was so hot in Blade. Yes. I loved
yeah,
him.
Yeah, he was.
Oh my God. I was in love with him. I would watch Blade just for him.
How did I know? That would be the moment right here. Oh my gosh. This one came out in 1987. What's the director was Tober Tykes? I don't even know how to enunciate that. Does anybody know how to say that properly?
Yeah, I'm coming. Hang on. My mouse isn't working.
English teacher's coming.
Yeah, no. I know. I don't want to mess his name up.
She's like John Smith.
I think it's Tabor Takex or Takex.
Taxi. It's not an easy one, name-wise.
No, I'm sure he's not, you know. Sounds made American. Up, like
the Galacticus from Leviathan. What's with all these names?
I know.
But there also was a Lewis Tripp, or Trap. I guess it'd be the two P's, is it?
Tripp? Yeah, Lewis Tripp. Mm-hmm.
Lewis Tripp. What is it? Christina Dalton. Mm-hmm. And they're the three main people in this one. The kids, basically, for the storyline. Parents don't really kind of hang out too long. It's kind of like they're going on their weekend and decided to have their older child watch their younger child. Lewis, the best friend. He's kind of more of like your classic Eddie from... I was going to go blank on that one. Eddie from Metalhead guy from...
Stranger Things?
Stranger Things, yeah. He's kind of your classic Metalhead guy. Likes his music. He's kind of like, not really the bad boy, but I mean, obviously from that age bracket of like 80s, there's always that one kid. I'm actually surprised Aid wasn't like totally crushing on him, to be honest with you. He had red hair and he had metal.
He was a total nerd, okay? And he was no Eddie Munson. How dare you?
So what you're saying is,
oh my God.
What you're saying is you hate nerds. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying
strike
that
two.
I hate nerds.
There's a certain podcast that I listen to who would not appreciate what you're talking about.
I already got yelled at today about that. So whatever.
Did you see how quickly she goes? He was a nerd, Lance.
Well, he was. Nerd. You know what he looked like? You know,
because you're trying to say he's a metal guy. He's not a metal.
He was totally a metal kid.
Not visually. Sure, he had a metal album. When I was young, I had Rob Zombie. Whatever that music was. So he looked more like the guy from Troll 2, who's like, oh my God. That's who he looked like.
He definitely had the Levi jacket. He had the stitchings on the back of it. He had a metal album. He also had a drum kit in his room. All the metal stuff on the walls.
To be fair, Aid and I were just being born when this happened.
Yeah, I know.
You
we
probably
were
do,
alive for
you
a very
probably
long time.
Do have more insight. So we'll trust you. And wow. I've never said that to you before, but
no, it's fine. Call nerds nerdy, you hate them, not metalhead kid, that's fine.
No, we're just taking your word for it because you were alive and alive. Well,
but nerds are so hot, according to the last episode. Henry Cavill, oh my God, he's the biggest nerd I've ever known. Squirting all over myself.
But that's what I'm saying, you were just, whatever, it doesn't matter. So Lewis Tripp is Terry Chandler. Actually, he was in the actor
the
was recent
one.
Yeah, he was in the second one, but he was recently in some Australian metal band's music video, I think.
Oh, yeah.
He's a metalhead band.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he did an homage.
I stand corrected.
He did an homage actually to his character in Gate for that video. That was what he was doing for that.
Damn.
Oh. So,
yeah, yeah. So
there you go. I'm sorry.
Was he in like a walker or something?
He doesn't look the same, that's for sure. So
that might be a good thing.
Just to throw out some little stats in the beginning here, just because Aid loves stats.
You forgot about Kelly Rowan and Jennifer Irwin in it.
Yeah, hello, Kelly Rowland.
Kelly Rowan from the OC, the mom from the OC. Hello. Yes, what the fuck? Sorry. Oh my God.
And Jennifer Irwin, by the main Steve Irwin's sister.
And Jennifer Irwin, she's in a bunch of TV, but she was in that one show with Jamie Gertz, which is another, nice. You know, 80s star.
This movie's budget was $6 million, and it actually made at the end of everything $13.5 million. Hmm. So it actually was a hit for all purposes, especially in the 80s. Yeah. I think with the graphics for this, practical, there's a little practical in there, I would say, to some degree, where the guy's skull gets crushed, like the father
melting in.
Yeah, and the phone melting, which is very similar to the melting of Indiana Jones movie. What did you guys think of, from that time frame? I mean, honestly, I actually kind of thought some of the effects were actually pretty on point for that in clay animation. I would assume that was what it was.
So when I was watching it, because I've seen this before, and I've always been like, how come this isn't more popular? Like, it's kind of only known amongst horror fans, but it really should be more popular. And watching it, other than like the very end, when it gets to like the different color CGI, it's really good with graphics. The creepy little, whatever they are, demons. When he falls, when the guy falls and disperses into a bunch of those little running demons, like that used to be on one of those commercials before a VHS that you'd buy where they were like advertising the distribution company. I remember them always playing that little scene and being that. But no, the graphics are really good. And also for this being a monster movie, which I typically don't find them scary, they're scary. Like this is one that, even though it's PG-13, folks, Adam won't let me show Olivia yet because she's seen Killer Clowns from Outer Space. And
really? Yeah, and this one's not on the list to go?
I feel like this one's a little more...
I mean, it's definitely...
Because Killer Clowns from Outer Space, they kill each other like cartoons. Like, with large stuff. Right. But this, like, they're actually, like, trying to eat you, and they're biting kids, and stabbing their hand with the eyeball and stuff. Like, it's kind of a lot. But it is... It's not scary for adults, but for kids, it definitely... It's a creep fest. And I love the way that the effects are, again, until the very end.
Yeah, Aid?
Yeah, no, I agree. And actually, I'm sure they had puppets, but the demonic minions are played by actors in rubber suits. And I guess it was shot a lot of the time through forced perspective, especially that shot where the guy falls.
I was wondering that.
Even though it's PG-13, because it's funny, like I've seen it before when I was a kid. And then last year, at the end of the year, the kids were like, play a scary movie. And I'm like, oh, The Gate is PG-13. You can watch that. So I played it. But I always have to remember that PG-13 movies are from the 80s. And then I told the kids, I said, if you hear something that you're not supposed to hear that nobody says anymore, it's because this was the 80s.
They were still trying to figure out what PG-13 meant.
Exactly. I go, I'm so sorry or whatever. But I figured, you know, because I knew it was a bunch of kids, right? And it's a bunch of kids that have to save the day. So there's really no, like, you know, interjection of any parental or adult figures who are coming in to save the day. The kids are doing the entire thing. So I think in a way, this kind of reminds me of like a lot of 80s movies at that time, like for example, The Goonies and like other
Monster Squad.
Yeah, Monster Squad. Well, which is why they definitely
dropped
that.
The F-bomb twice, actually.
They do in this one, too. Yeah. So
I was thrown off by that. I was like, especially the first one where he does that, like he says it and then he runs away, and the guy's like, hey, dude.
Yeah. Well, what I liked about this one, because in Monster Squad, as everybody on this show knows, that word doesn't bother me. But in Monster Squad, they say it in like a, okay, like, yeah, tell them. But in this one, when they say it, like the older kids are even like, that's not cool. So it's like, that reaction's a lot better than being like, yeah, tell them, call them.
Well, and Monster Squad, the bully is the one who's saying it, right? So, I mean, it stands to reason that they're still looking at this as a slur, obviously. But at the end of the day, like, obviously, I don't think they say it in the Goonies, thank God. But
I don't think
what,
so.
What's, oh, and
Yeah, no, I don't
E.T.,
think so
like,
either.
yeah, E.T. and stuff like that. So there's a lot of 80s movies where the kids are just basically in charge, right?
Because when E.T. calls him a
go home.
E.T., fly home. Anyways, yeah. So
they killed him at the end.
Oh my gosh.
So, spoiler.
You know, it's very indicative of the 80s. And I think I really feel like a lot of, maybe not Olivia's age, but I think like 9, 10, 11 year olds, this is a good movie for them because it doesn't make them feel stupid or pander to like a child. Like, I think that Monster Squad does that a little bit more, not purposefully, but I think it's more childish, where this one I think is a lot more mature.
Yeah, this one's definitely more, like, has more terror. Monster Squad was kind of like a comedy action that involved monsters, where this is 100%. Like, you might die.
Yeah. There's actual, like, I mean, and the fact that they even have the scene where, just to show you how, like, it's a different era, where that gun was, like, so ready to have, like, it was just in their closet, you know, with the shells right next to it. You mean, it's like, stuff like that, you would have that in a lock safe, or have one of those lock pieces around the trigger handle or something, like, you mean, like,
yeah,
it's just such a difference in like age bracket of like how kids are opposed. I mean, the fact that let's be honest, even them leaving their kids alone, I mean, what was maybe 15, 14?
Probably.
He was like probably like 16, and I think he was like
11.
11 or 12. Yeah.
Because I was even thinking all these movies. And when I was a kid, I would always be terrified that my parents were going to leave me with my sister. And I think I also connected with this movie when I was young, because I did have an older sister. So like when I was young, I had a teenage sister that like had friends that would come over. But like as an adult, I'm like, our parents never left us. That didn't really happen.
Yeah. Like my parents would leave us like after school, like for a couple hours until I got home.
Not
right?
days.
But it wasn't, not for days. Like, oh my God, could you imagine? My brother and I would be killed. We would kill each other. Like there would be no Steven left, poor thing.
From a certain age bracket, there was basically a thing called latchkey kids, where the actual terminology literally came from kids who just basically have their key to go home because their parents were never at home when they got home. So that was basically just so they could just get in. So they walk home, but it was an actual terminology. It's actually an old school punk band called Latchkey Kids.
Yeah, and I think there's like a story or a show called Latchkey Kids also, or a play or something. Because
really?
That was me too. I had to, after fifth grade, I had to walk home from school, and then when I went to middle school, I had to ride the bus, and my parents worked all the time, so I had to have a key to get in the house, and I was by myself for like 3 or 4 hours, but never like overnight.
Same I was home until, you know, like 7 o'clock. Most of us were like that, I think, because, you know, our parents couldn't afford to, like,
Hispanics.
Yeah, maybe that was a thing too. Yeah,
it wasn't as scary back then as it is now to do that.
No.
Oh yeah. Well, okay. So basically, the storyline going along with what we're talking about, basically the parents leave for the weekend. They're going off to a little trip. They leave their phone numbers of where they're gonna be, which is a classic parent thing to do. You know, here's all the numbers you're gonna get. If anything emergency happens, it's on the wall, you know. But at the same time, it's one of those things where it's the classic, you know, don't tell mom the babysitter is dead kind of vibe, where she automatically throws a party. The brother's like not really a part of the whole thing. His friend's kind of a nerdy friend.
Yeah.
But he's kind of one of those guys.
Now he's a nerd. Okay.
A nerdy metalhead.
A nerdy metalhead. Thank you, Mikey.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Weirdly enough, though, you think about it, in that time frame, metalheads were considered nerds and not part of the fold.
Yeah. So they weren't considered cool back then.
Yeah. So I mean, as much as you like Eddie, you know, who played D&D, which you would have probably called him out for.
Well, that's fine that he played D&D, but you don't have to, like, you know, look nerdy.
What do you think metal is?
Nerdy.
Metal is literally D&D for games.
Metal is music that people who aren't musically inclined play. I'm just kidding.
What? Good God. Like, I don't condone that when he said that. He's just messing with everybody.
Just kidding. That's what he said about punk.
Mr. Punk and Ska over here. Like,
I mean, punk is that, exactly. Every punk person will say that.
I listen to heavier shit than Lance does, so don't even go there.
She listens to radio metal.
I do not listen to radio metal.
How dare you? She listens to Atreyu and whatever that other band is.
You're not helping her.
Oh my my God, I love Atreyu. How dare you?
No, I like Atreyu. Don't get me wrong. So you're in a situation where a tree fell down initially in the beginning, and the kid seemed to have like premonition nightmares. And he kind of has like a fruition of what might be coming. He goes outside, they see the tree, they cut it down, and then they leave the kind of like a pothole in the ground where I guess in the tree, it falls out, but it's like a geode kind of thing where it breaks. And so of course, kids thinking they can sell that. And I'm sure at that time frame, geodes were like pet rocks, you know, like you sell like $1 million worth of pet rocks back in the day with googly eyes on them. You know, it's
of course he would remember because I don't.
Yes. I watch all those things where you talk about old shit like that.
Yeah. I saw a documentary about him.
I did. There is. It really is. So the kids are automatically just being kids and they're thinking, oh man, we dig a hole where this is. Obviously might be more where this one was. So they dig it and they actually find a really ginormous one. But they kind of dig kind of a bigger hole. And I don't know if magical words end up on his etch-a-sketch pad, because I guess his sister was trying to throw some stuff away. You realize he kind of likes shooting rockets off, which it later on becomes a thing, which I don't know how that became a thing in the movie. Like, it's just it's a rando kind of thing, kind of, in the movie.
Love and light, Lance. The rocket was the light.
Yes, and the love.
Not love. Well, his life. His sister. Do you have an older sister?
He doesn't have any sisters.
No. Mm-mm. I mean, not blood related, that's for sure.
He has no idea.
I don't care.
Yeah. You know, another thing too, to bring that up, I do actually like the sibling interaction, because I felt like that was more realistic than not, to be honest with you, where sometimes it was a hate kind of thing because you're in my way, but at the same time, I love you because you are my family and my brother, you know, kind of deal. So I thought that was a really good interaction, especially for the writing. And even the friend, honestly, because you could kind of tell the friend had issues. But later on, something gets said, I think, from one of the sayings that on the thing. It opens, a crack in the door, are we saying, probably, right? Like, is it?
Didn't he cut his hand and his blood fell into the hole?
Right. They did, I guess, technically some of the ceremony without knowing they did the ceremony.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, because they're reading something about, like, you need 2 sacrifices, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of, gas comes out of the hole, which.
Yeah.
Everyone don't have to worry about any of this ever happening again, because these kids will not go dig in the yard for anything if their phone's not with them. So we're safe.
Yeah. So all that being said, basically, they technically open the gate a little bit. Unfortunately, I know how I feel when I ever see any animal pass away.
Victim.
Yeah, definitely a first victim. It's kind of cool in the sense that the thing slipped out to where it could affect them a little bit with like mind games, kind of what they were doing as they were like trying to sleep. There was a point where there's a levitation scene during the party, which I feel like those kids should have been way more freaked out.
Yeah.
Like they seem very fucking calm. I mean, what did you guys think of the party in general? I mean, other than the fact that it was from the 80s.
Well, I forgot about that party scene before I watched it, and I was watching it and I was like, oh, like, that's something to be concerned with, everybody, because the little boy's crying and everybody's
who's gonna make fun of him? Like, they're like, he's so worried that he's like, everybody saw me crying, and then like, they're like are you kidding me? You just floated from this kid's other hands, like, in the sky. Like, that was a normal thing for everybody.
I know. And it's funny because like the girl who was like, well, I have an idea, we can do this, that girl's a fucking nerd. Why is she hanging out with everybody? It's just a different decade.
I think it's because they were all probably a little tipsy. Maybe they were smoking some other things. You know, I don't think that they were very coherent. And they probably, you know, when you see something, if you see something like that, if you were to see something like that, like, would you automatically like freak out or just like, oh, I didn't think I saw what I saw, right? Like,
I was with my friends, I would laugh and be like, that was weird. And I wouldn't freak out until I was by myself later.
I'd be like, let's do it again.
Yeah.
See if it's real.
They don't really address it, which it's probably a good thing that they don't. But like, looking at this movie overall, like everything that they're doing is kind of like what the church tells you invites evil. Like doing the magic, like the record, breaking, going against your parents' with all this stuff. Like, it's basically
it's a who's who of like classic what not to do at a party.
So that's what makes the evil stronger as a religious person.
It's an allegory for like and which I totally understand now that I think about it, because the kids were doing everything wrong. But this was also like in the midst of the satanic panic in the 80s as well. And so I think that this was another like a warning, or, you know, like
cautionary tale.
Let's play on something that everybody's freaking out about anyways. Right. No. And, you know, see where this goes kind of thing. So.
Everybody has that friend who's the metal guy who likes satanistic music slash just like knows all about demon. Flash, I mean, Scott. The fact that he, why did you have to throw Scott on there?
It's evil.
According to Aid, it's the most
thing in the world. But usually the friends that know all the demonology and shit, they usually just pull from Dungeons and Dragons.
That's right. Yeah. Like, so like I find it funny because it's like, but they do everything in this decently well, in the sense that like it doesn't seem so fake. Like the kid who is the metal friend seems genuine friend, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, Steven or Stefan.
It's Steven. There is no or. It's Steven.
Steven's character plays really well. You know, it does look like a little bit of an age gap, though. I mean, just because the kid looks way taller than him.
Maybe. Not that you mean, like, Steven does look really young.
Yeah, he looks really young. I think he's like 13, though, when he plays this role.
Yeah. I mean, he's a small kid anyways, probably.
He looks like he's much younger. But the other kid, I think they do mention at some point, like, that. The other kid, isn't he like a neighbor or something? So they probably just grew up like hanging out and stuff. Yeah.
And he also lost his mother, which you see the scene where you find out where the dog is has passed away.
Yeah.
Which, you know.
Oh, Mikey, what are we doing? Mikey's bent over. Is that his chair? What is happening?
That's his chair.
Oh, just kidding.
He walked to the side.
It looks like he's all bent over to the side. I don't know.
Oh my god.
I could see this being popular in the 80s, and even in, I was watching In Search of Darkness, I think part 3, they mentioned this movie, and even everyone talking, you know, about the film, you know, they talk about the practical effects, they talk about like the relationships in the film, just like you're saying, and everyone's very surprised that it is not more popular than it should be.
Yeah.
And it has spawned a sequel, and Lewis Tripp obviously is in the second one. So
he's the only one, I think, in the second one.
Yeah, and so I think like it's a shame that it's not more popular, because I don't know if to play off on what Mikey was saying, because it's a lot scarier than, let's say, Monster Squad, or, you know, obviously E.T. or something like, or The Goonies, or, you know, I'm just thinking of like everything with just the kids in it.
Yeah.
Maybe because it's actually scarier that it's not as accessible.
Mm.
Maybe parents didn't show their kids it so much because they were like, no, this is actually kind of scary.
Yeah.
Well, here's some more fun facts about it. Weirdly enough, they did do a sequel because this was in 87. So in 92, they actually came out with the second one, which again, was Ava was saying, is Lewis is actually the only recurring character from that first movie. And unfortunately, it just didn't capture, because technically this was an actual hit of a movie. So the fact that the sequel didn't come out till like several years later, and then only had one reoccurring character, it's kind of crazy to think about, because you would think, okay, yeah. But at the time, maybe Steven was, you know, on his stride and doing a lot better things and bigger things. So it makes more sense to him, maybe. And I think this movie only did, what did it say? I think it did $2 million, the second one. So it was, I mean, considerably from the first one, it's a flop.
Have y'all seen the second one?
I haven't, actually. I'm actually kind of interested in it.
I haven't seen it either. I want to, but I've never seen it.
Yeah. And then actually, there was talks, actually, at one point, Alex Winters, who I love Alex Winters from Bill and Ted's.
Alex Winter. Yes. Alex from Winters. Bill and Ted. Winter. Yes. Stop putting an S at the end of his name.
I'll put Winters.
It's Winter. Alex Winter.
Either or.
From the Lost Boys. Because
she loves him. From that, because he's Marcos.
I mean, I don't.
He's Marco. You did that on purpose. Son of a bitch. How? And I'm wearing a Lost Boys shirt. How dare you? That's so funny.
So he was actually in the works and talking of doing a Gate 3, and they were going to do a 3D version of it, which I thought actually sounds kind of cool, especially with the little creatures and the way they kind of came off in the first one. Weirdly enough, they kind of come off 3D-ish, or you could actually pull it off. But I guess, unfortunately, it is in purgatory and hold because of whatever manners that be where it's being held. Like, yeah. Either somebody has rights or somebody doesn't want to do something or they don't agree on whatever. But that's unfortunate. It sucks. I would like to still see two. Maybe we can do that sometime later on or something like that, or
in recap. Florida.
Yeah, yeah. To get back to the first one, basically, they actually say some words. The dog dies. Now, I thought this was actually a creative way to put a sacrifice, and they do explain the fact that it doesn't have to be an actual human sacrifice. It could be an animal sacrifice, which in most quote-unquote Satanist-ic ideals, you can have a goat as your Satan. Like,
yeah. It's just a life. Like, you just need a life.
Yeah. So, weirdly enough, the boy that his sister's kind of dreamboat guy for the movie, the guy she's interested in, or her friends are trying to get her to be with. Weirdly enough, he has the task to try to take the dog to somewhere like a pet place to be either cremated or buried or taken care of or whatever they do in the 80s back then. I God knows, probably just put in the dumpster the way that seems to be the way they roll. But in the 80s, I mean, I wouldn't even be shocked by that. Oh, but he ends up having... He has to drag it back to the house, and they're not home. So he ends up having to put it in the hole where the demons are, or the monsters, and like technically accidentally. So most of this gate opening has been accidental in every sense of the word.
Yeah,
these kids have no idea because none of it's their doing. It's not like somebody decided to like say, "Hey, we're gonna open a gate open."
Well, and it stands to reason that kids are very. I think it's also, like we were saying earlier, cautionary tale that kids are just like inherently to, you know, doing things to their own detriment because they don't know what they're doing. Right. So that's kind of, it feels like it's intentional in the way that these kids are doing these things, like not knowing that they're doing it. But at the same time, it just shows you like how kids are very flippant about situations. Like the dog is dead. I'd be crying and screaming and fucking clawing the floor or whatever. They barely even care. And the way the kid is just dragging his body around, poor Angus.
I know. Aww. Whenever she's like, when the next morning, when she tells the friends, they're like, did you tell them what happened? Like, what happened? She was like, Angus died. And the girls were like, oh. I've been like, bitch, get out of my house.
Get out of my house. Yeah. I was so pissed. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, but this just shows you how like desensitized like kids are towards things because they're just not. You know, they're only worried about, okay, when are we going to have the next party? When are the boys going to come over? Like, I mean, case in point, when all of the shit goes down, they still invite the guys. The guys still come over and they're like, okay, well, everything's fine now. Let's just still have the party. Like, okay. And at that point, I've been like, just give me a fucking drink. Like,
that's so funny. I mean, they technically did want a drink. The guys did bring the alcohol. So
yeah, like, I know. I would have just had them stay because I'm like, I really don't want to be alone. But she like throws everybody out of the house.
You know how long they had to stand in front of that fucking supermarket place and fucking ask every guy came in there, you buy me beer? You buy me beer?
Well, when did they start changing it to 21?
They weren't 18, though. It would have been 18. They had to be 18 at least.
Oh, you're telling me that you didn't go and illegally buy... booze from the market.
I'm from a generation that literally you walked in for your dad and bought his cigarettes and his alcohol.
Yeah,
on his tab.
Yeah, on his tab. And like walked out, like, you know, like, oh, thanks. And you walked out, like, no one thought that shit was wrong. Like, when you see stuff from Stranger Things where they went to go buy like the weapons and like I think the first season where they're buying chains and things that like today you would be questioned for a quarter of that.
Oh, you'd call the FBI.
Yeah, like it's like you wouldn't trust any of that. Like the difference in worry and wonder what you're doing with certain things drastically changed from this time.
I blame the gays.
Yeah, because that's what happened. Mm-hmm. comes a scene with this classic scene, obviously. It's where his one best friend decides to go home and he sees one of these albums. He's listening to the metal music. He starts to realize that the symbols are the same as the symbols that were written on his etch-a-sketch. Because remember when they broke the quartz thing in the room and now that smoke comes out of it And yeah, and then all the like smoke comes through. Another moment where these kids are in wonder, but like not frightened. It was more like, ooh, what is this? Instead of like, why does this have smoke in it? Did I just get poisoned? None of those things go through these kids' minds.
Like, well, they had limited access to information back then. It could be like, this could happen. Whereas now all I have to do is Google it and be like, go to the ER or you have cancer. The Rock gave you cancer.
Mm-hmm. I guess this band wrote this one album and they only had this one album, but they died on a plane because like they found this book that had all this like secret things. And basically this book basically tells you exactly what the kids are actually going through. Like it's basically their storybooks of what's happening that they can cling on to. It's like, oh, this isn't weird. This is normal. If you want to bring a devil / demon to the earth and destroy things.
That's what all metal's about. Yeah. They try to get rid of it.
Yeah. Well, they tried the Bible, which I thought was hilarious. I'm surprised I didn't start burning.
Why is that hilarious?
I mean, huh. That never helps.
Interesting. Speaking of bands, if there's one band that's gonna unleash these demons, it sure is the recently regrouped Rushmore Fle.
might be a December thing. Might be a December thing. We'll see.
We'll see.
My God, yeah. Please remember the words.
Open the gates to hell and my bussy is all I gotta say.
Mikey will be making a special appearance back in Florida in December.
That's right, in my special Rushmore thong. Well, yeah, it's my birthday.
Yeah, aww. You should come for a B-day trip. You could stay with Lance. You gotta figure out how to not be derailed by our comments.
I love our derailments. So we bring our kids back into a situation where they've kind of come across some stuff that they've seen. They don't know if it's hallucinations or real stuff. I guess after he puts the dog into the hole and covers it up, because they think they actually fix it. There's a couple times in this movie I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah,
that they do have moments where they're fake outs. I mean, did you guys like all the fake outs? Did you think it got a little boring at the end? Because they do almost right till the end, right?
I don't mind the fake outs. I thought they were good, but this movie did kind of fall victim to what a bunch of 80s horror movies do, which is the very final act. I'm like, let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
It does tend to, I feel like, with some of these things, it does drag because it feels like we're just keep going back and forth before we get to.
It's like they want to show all the special effects they can do before it ends. I'm like, you should have shown us earlier.
Yeah, there could be other ways to incorporate it in, but at the same time too, like a lot of these movies that you know we would call slow burns today were longer back then. I think because you know people were more okay with going to the movies and watching that because that was all they had. So like now you can just stream whatever the fuck you want whenever you want.
Well, so. Yeah, watching it, I had internal dialogue with myself. I was like, why am I kind of annoyed that this last, it was only like maybe 7 minutes, the very last 7 minutes. I was like, hurry up. But like when it comes to Terrifier 2, I didn't really care that the ending was so drawn out. And I think it's because in The Gate, he's the only one quote unquote left alive. So you're like, they're not going to kill him. Like, I know something's like, but in Terrifier, no one's really safe. And so like, there is that underlying, like, is she going to make it? Is she not going to make it? Like what's going on? And so I think that's kind of what bores me with some of these drawn out endings. Like, I know this bitch is not going to die. So let's go ahead and just get to the next step. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys, okay. So there's a part, so it goes on, part of the actual, finishing of the thing. So to bring the main monster was the little creatures had to capture two people, like two more sacrifices. Mm-hmm. And then when you're going through it, there's only three people left. The other two girls who were spending the night over doing a slumber party thing end up kind of leaving. And then it's just the three of them, which again, this is one of the fake outs where a second fake out where everybody thinks that everything's done. They read the Bible, they threw it down the hole. The one best friend falls down the hole. So you get a moment where you kind of see him in like kind of the small guy's little lairs. Again, like Aid was saying, it looked like there was people in costumes because it was weird because it went from claymation to kind of like people in lairs, but at a different angle. So it didn't look like, which again, for that time frame, that's really cool effects in the sense of what you're doing, what you have. Even though this did cost like $6 million, so it kind of makes sense, you know. Yeah. And for that time frame in 87, for something to cost $6 million, that's a decent amount of money for something like that.
Yeah.
So like it was kind of cool. And then they get away, so that now they're in another situation where they're all relaxed again. Because it does this a lot where they're like, oh, we fixed it. Oh no, we didn't fix it. Oh, we fixed it. And then the story that his friend said about how one of the workers was died in the wall or whatever it was. Like it was one of those things.
Oh, yeah.
So it actually, it pays it off later on, which is kind of funny because while they're at the house and they think they're fine, everything's great, this dude just kind of crashes through the wall.
Yeah.
And I thought it was hilarious. And I'm like, oh, don't go up to the, this is another scary moment. I mean, if you were a kid watching this, like it's always the scare scene.
The effects for that guy were creepy also. Like it was a creepy thing.
I thought it was kind of cool. And then I think the part where it's like, he keeps coming back and then he breaks them. I thought it was really cool. The scene where he falls down and then blows up into all the little creatures.
Yeah.
It gave me very Critters kind of vibe, but like not in a big giant ball, but like if they could create, you know, something. But it was before that, obviously. So it was one of those like, kind of like, oh man, that's really rad. Like how often do you see that?
The ending, the monster is this big, big ass thing. Right. Which I think is obviously very 80s trope where, you know, at the end, they all become this huge, ginormous thing, like, you know, Killer Clowns comes to mind at first. And did it work for me? I loved it when it was like picking them up and like kind of swinging, like that was funny.
It looked better than the Corn movie,
The Children of the Corn Dinosaur.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So, well, duh. But that's...
You know what I mean? And how much was that movie made for again?
I have no idea. Don't take me back to that.
Yeah, $6 million, and that was in the '80s compared to somewhere in the '90s with that one. Like, did it look weird at the end? It was one of those things where it looked like he petted the Steven character.
Yeah, and so he like he does that, and then the eye comes on his hand. So what I was assuming was that the eye was them watching him.
And right, so
that's why he stabs the eyeball.
Because that's when the rocket comes in and involved, where it's supposed to be the light and the love.
Light and love, because the sister, remember, she spent all her money on the rocket for him.
Yeah, and that was I don't know if this generation can really identify, and that's not me just trying to be like, oh, I'm so old, but like having an older sister, like that actually is really touching when like, because my sister used to have her friends over. Me and my sister, she was annoyed with me, but to me, she was my best friend. And so, like, you know, when they have to do something, like, I'm going out with my friends, you'd be like, oh, okay. And then, like, later on, like, I remember one time she came home with, like, a little sticker book of holographic dinosaurs for me. And I was like, and, like, I loved it. And I had it, like, for a long time. So, like, to me, that was a genuine, like, that is love. Because he wants to play with rockets. She's like, no, get out of here. I'm too old to play with rockets. And then she goes and gets one for him. So it was the perfect love and light, because you have literal light and there's love in the rocket.
And, you know, and then, of course, that's another thing, too, which makes it a children's movie, right? So we get to the end and
everything's fine.
Yeah,
the dog's back. The
dog comes back. Terry comes back. Al comes back.
My favorite moment was when I picked this movie, A legitimately goes, the dog dies in this one. And I literally had to go like this. It comes back to life.
I forgot.
She was so mad at me because she thought I was going to make her like have an ordeal of another pet die in one of these movies that we've watched. And like, I would never do that.
As long as it's not When Evil Lurks, we're fine.
Oh my God. Forget it.
But it is, it's very, I think that's what makes it okay for kids. Because at the end, everything is hunky dory again.
Yeah.
But when he gets blown out of the house, I was dying. Oh, it was so funny. Because I think what makes it funnier is that it doesn't look like a cheap effect. It looks like he really flung out of the house like that.
Oh yeah. I mean, in the '80s, it probably was.
Yeah, just like an Exorcist throwing the poor lady across the room.
Oh my god.
Well, yeah, The Exorcist was horrible. And that was in the '70s, so you know, I'm sure the '80s is a little bit, maybe a little bit safer, but not as much.
There's a couple more rules, not much, but a couple.
Basically, in the end, he shoots the rocket, it goes through the main creature's chest or heart, like you guys, you said it's basically it's a Hallmark ending. You know, it's like everybody comes back weirdly in the closet. I don't know why that was the weird spot they ended up coming back in. They come back out, you know, and then
now I understand the message.
Everything's fine. It's a metaphor.
Everything's fine as long as you go back into the closet, y'all.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, they actually come back out. So technically.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what were you guys' final thoughts on the whole idea of this? I mean, is this something that's a missed movie that most people should just really have a chance to see? I mean, regardless of the time frame, and I mean, and then obviously it hitting kind of all the 80s tropes of a horror movie.
Well, I think to me, this is almost like the perfect movie because it is really good. And even though we make fun of it for having a Hallmark ending, we need some of those because as a horror fan, I need something to show Olivia that, yeah, you know, to be like
gateway ones.
Yeah. And so it's, and you know, we really don't have those types of horror movies anymore that involve siblings or families where it's like they have the balls to get scary, but at the end they're like, oh, but it's okay. Because I remember watching this movie and really liking it and thinking it was scary. And then I remember like in college, someone was like, have you ever seen The Gate? And I was like, fuck yeah, I've seen The Gate. And I was so happy that someone else has seen it. So I definitely think it's a missed film that should be watched by, even if you're not, if you don't like scary stuff, you're probably going to like it because as an adult, it's not that scary, but it's scary enough to give you like the feeling you had when you'd watch Are You Afraid of the Dark when you were a kid?
Nice. Aid, how do you feel about it?
Well, yeah, that's what, to piggyback off what Mikey was saying, because it's a good movie. It's got a lot of rewatchability. I do like the fact that it is accessible for kids because, you know, I was actually talking to Dan's sister's girlfriend, and her son likes horror movies, and they're just like, I'm trying to figure out like what movies to show my kids. I'm like, well, you know, Poltergeist, Monster Squad. I'm like, oh, The Gate. Show them The Gate. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, like, I think that like not a lot of things do that now, and that's why Stranger Things is so popular.
Yeah,
because it really does put the kids in danger.
Yeah.
There are a lot of horrific things to do with this. Like, at the, you know, in the first season, I think is very kid friendly in the sense that it is scary, but like your kids can still watch it. And I love how you grow as the show grows with the kids, the horror gets more intense. The stakes get worse. You know,
people
what I mean?
Were mad this last season. And I was like, yeah.
So, you know, yeah. So it's very intense. And mm-hmm. I think if you introduce and like kids can grow with something, I think that's such an amazing like gateway horror, you know, to get into, because, you know, like horror is just as much art as any other genre in film or TV or, you know, movies, books, music, whatever. So, you know, people just tend to snub it for whatever reason, but there are always like, you know, hidden meanings to horror. Like, there is horror for the sake of like being shocking and sleazy, but there's always something behind it, right? Because you can make these metaphors or, you know, hide these things in a horror film much easier than you could in, you know, something at face value. I know Mikey's joking, but the whole closet thing, for example, like the hidden meanings for, you know, are much more acceptable in horror because people don't really know what they're watching unless you like look at it, you know, and peel back the layers of it. And so,
well, it's like shock and awe. It's like you're shocked by this, but they're able to have the moment to give a real learning lesson somewhere else within what they're scaring you with or someone's dying of. So I mean, it's kind of cool to have that, you know.
Oh, that just brings back the art of storytelling, which a lot of movies lose. Is stories are supposed to have a moral. They're not supposed to be moral, but there's some sort of moral. That's the point of telling a story, you know? And so if you're able to do it without being so backhand, black and white about it, it's even better. So love it.
Cool. So last final things, what are we rating The Gate? Anybody?
I don't know if it's because I'm drunk, but I'm going to give it 5 stars.
Aww. What? Wow. I love it.
I give it a 4 out of 5, only because it did drag a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be in the more of the 4 area, just because I'm not as drunk as Mikey, but I might have been in that scenario. Yeah, I could be. No, but it, like you guys both said, I mean, it really just hits a lot of the spectrums of what you would hope a really good horror movie would have, you know, and especially for our Monsters Month, you know, it's just kind of a fun one. I was actually shocked we hadn't done it, honestly.
Yeah, I was super shocked too, because I think this is one of Jake's favorites, if I remember correctly. He used to always talk about doing it, but he never did.
We did. He did a what was it for the sequels that didn't suck part of our 13 Days of Halloween one.
He did this year, last year.
He did the Gate 2.
Yeah, so, he did.
You know, I do remember that. And so if you guys want to go back to that, just go search through the page, Back to Halloween. I don't know if it was this Halloween or last Halloween. I can't remember. But he did a couple of minutes on The Gate 2 and what he liked about it. But I didn't really watch too much of it because I hadn't seen it yet. So I didn't want to get any spoilers. But, you know, if The Gate 2 is your thing, then definitely give that a listen. And if you want us to do a whole episode on it, you can let us know. And I'm sure Lance can get his notes together and put his ice away. And stop making chair noises while Ada's speaking. That'd be great.
Wow. If it's not one thing, she goes to the next thing. It's
don't worry, I can't edit it out.
Thank you.
So that all being said.
Wow, and then you're sneezing as he's saying his outro.
I know, right?
I can't help it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, where's my bless you assholes? Thank you. You know,
don't die.
I can't bless you. You'll blow up in flames.
My saying actually works along with our with ours. I always just say so don't rude. Die.
It's a non-denominational way of saying bless you is stop.
Stop trying to die.
Yeah. That's enough.
Whatever.
Aide's ideal of that is she thinks for some reason I tell her I'm not religious and she goes, bless you's not religious. I go, it's literally religious.
Literally, where's the origin of bless you come from?
Well,
yeah, I'm trying to do this with her.
No, just wondering because she's an English teacher. She should know.
You don't have to mean it. I know that, you know, people say that because that's like, you know, demons escaping your body. So bless you. My thing is that I don't give a fuck. Like, and isn't it bless you, like, have something to do with, like, the plague or something? Like
the Black Plague.
Yeah, exactly, you motherfucker. So there you go.
Well, it's not. Basically, when you sneeze, you say bless you. It's because, like, you're going to die soon. So I hope God takes you, like, in a good way. So, yeah, you know what? Bless you.
Okay, shut up. My thing is that it is a term to, like, it's polite to say it to people.
It's a term of endearment.
But you don't have to, like, have a religious background and be religious to say it. Like, I say bless your heart all the time. Am I fucking religious?
Obviously. Yeah, you have a double entendre meaning for that. Yeah, I know. It's like
that's not a polite thing to tell people.
How do you use that as your terminology for this? And like goes, I'm basically telling you to go fuck off.
It's not true.
Wow.
Whatever.
Bless her heart.
Yeah, aww. Bless her heart. Oh.
I'm not gonna say that to Lance because he's rude to me. So there.
Oh my god.
Lance doesn't have a rude bone in his body.
That being said, folks, we're gonna end this episode with some sweet, sweet information. So we are gonna be at Spooky Empire. And we are going to be having some giveaways type stuff. So we got some shirts and different designs. Some stickers, some card stuff. So that way you can kind of help us out and push the idea of this awesome podcast.
Okay. Lance, read Mikey's notes, please. He left you a whole thing in there.
I know, but I'm talking about the sweepstakes.
Okay.
That's what we're talking about.
Then talk about the sweepstakes.
That's what I'm talking about. God.
I know. Let him host.
Good Lord.
Okay.
So, with our sweepstakes of us being at the thing, we're going to have some stickers and shirts, and we'll have some cards, and we'll have a lot of stuff where you can have free stuff and enjoy the factors of helping us out a little bit, and we help you a little bit, which is what I was trying to do before I was really interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, bless
God.
You.
Yeah. Swear to God. So we also, at the same time, we have different videos we've been doing. Me and Mikey actually had done a thing called The Chop, which is basically our comic book part. And we actually have it on YouTube, as much as we do also have some of our shorts and episodes.
It's a condensed version of the audio podcast you hear, but with the enjoyment of seeing our faces.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. We also have a Patreon. So if you guys would like to give us some of your money and keep us going, that would be amazing.
Hey, I'm going to be a trooper.
How do you write music and yet you can't figure out an eloquent way of asking for money? I don't understand this.
I thought that was very eloquent.
Okay.
Yeah, my thing is this is, we love you, you love us, and if you like what we do, it helps. It's a dollar. If you want to give more, that'd be awesome. And all the Patreons that we do have, we do love you very much. I don't have that part on here.
Okay, I don't know what you're
Oh my God. So we're gonna wrap it up by thanking all of our Patreon members. And
the most important part.
The most important
part. Don't forget Redbubble.
Okay, yes. If you want to support us monetarily, patreon.com/slasherspod. And if you want to get any of our sweet, sweet merch, slasherspod.redbubble.com. And as always, we rely on the support of our listeners. We want to give a special shout out to our amazing Patreon members, Josh Gunn, who is Jason's arch nemesis.
Or boyfriend. We haven't decided yet.
Our Dr. Proctor, Mr. Austin. Our hosts over at Dinosaurs Will Always Be Awesome podcast. We love you guys. And actually, they live in Orlando. So, hey.
Oh, see if they're going to be there.
My mother, who, Lorene, who does donate to the podcast. Our Kevin. We love you, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Vlad. Hi, Kevin. Johnny Miller, who has the same name as my ex-husband. I don't know how that happened. And our lovely Cam. We love you. Miss you. Can't wait to see you. Hope we get to see you at one spooky empire one of these days. I was actually just talking to her recently. So hopefully we can arrange a meet and greet at one of these things that we do. So head on over to our Patreon and join the likes of these amazing folks, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Thank you, Johnny, yay, Vlad, and Cam. Cause I think those are the ones I didn't say.
Did we actually get anybody?
Johnny, Vlad, and Cam. Yeah.
No, you did. I was repeating after you and then I just didn't stop.
Oh, true. Yes.
did we get anybody from the Patreon for one of the episodes for the monster?
Yes. So the last week of the month, we are going to our listeners to see what they want us to review based off the month, the theme of the month. This month, we have the recommendation from Gunn. Should I say it?
Oh, yeah, we can say it.
Yeah, yeah, why not? He wants us to do Host, not the webcam one, the monster one.
I've actually been wanting to watch that one.
Chad's about to say.
So Host doesn't have a monster. No, that's a different host.
No, I know, but I was saying I was like, wait a minute.
I forgot what country it's from, but is it Korean? I don't remember.
No, it's like Swedish or something.
Oh no, it's an Asian film.
Is it Asian? Yeah. I don't know. Anyway,
Say anything. It's good, but I can't say what I want to say. So I'll say it at the end of the month.
I would normally like to say what she always makes me want to say, so I'm just gonna say this is, thank you, Gooms. Thank you, Slashers, for coming and enjoying our little ride of horror and fun-filled moments of us talking about movies that you may not watched or have watched. We enjoy every moment with you. We appreciate our Patreons. I want to say thank you to Mikey. I'd like to thank you to Aid, regardless. And I would like to say goodbye and goodbye, or goodbye and goodbye, or bye and goodbye.
Close enough. Don't die.
Yes, I thought he was going to lapse into Snoop Dogg speech with, I would like to thank me for all the hard work that, what did he say? I'd like to thank me for being me. Okay, goodbye.
Die.